The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Wow. All right. Hey, welcome to the show. For some reason, one of my dials was turned down. I couldn't hear anything. And I'm like, oh, is there a connection problem? Nope, a dial somehow, miraculously got turned down. Anyway, no big deal. Hey, welcome everybody. It's a nice Friday, the 30th of July in 2021. That means on Monday, the next time we talk, it'll be August. August, that's right. Come August, it'll be 17 years ago that I moved from San Diego here to the wonderful land of Idaho, where we are still free. And mask requirements is minimalistic, and people actually say hello to each other, and they don't care what color you are. How about that? It's a nice Idaho. Unfortunately, all the Californians, the Oregonians, and the Washingtonians are moving here, and they're bringing their leftist stuff with them. Oh, but you know how it is with a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Anyway, hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And let's see, there's so many things. Oh, yeah, let's see. So tonight I've got an AMA, which is an Ask Me Anything on Discord. And maybe I'll put up the, I got to see if I find that thing. My schedule of events. I don't even know if there's a calendar thing. I think there is. We're not supposed to be putting things up that I do. I got a couple of three debates coming up, and so I don't even have it. I'll have to put one up, a calendar after the show here, my scheduled events and things like that, so that people can check it out. All right, and if you want to watch the show, all you have to do is go to carm.org, carm.org, and on the right hand side you'll see the link for the Matt Slick Live show, and you can actually watch us just sitting here. But what's really better than just watching me, which I look like a bag of logs, is the people in the room who are good fellowship that we have, good fellowship group that we have. And there are a lot of great folks there. So if you are interested in participating, some good chat with some good people, then that would be the place to go. It'd be great. You know, you could check it out. All right. So why don't we just do this? The number, 877-207-2276. Why don't we get to, let's see, Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air. Wait. Yeah, I hit the button. That's right.
Experience in a couple of years in the history books here in America, they say they discover America. The Indians were here, you know, every hundreds of years. So why gives them the right to call this country, this continent, an America? Why couldn't they call it the Indians? Wouldn't they call it the name of this continent? You know,
America was an explorer, and I forgot. I remember reading about it. How the state or our area got named because of something he did, or I can't remember. Anyway, the American Indians were here first, and so the Europeans just said they discovered it, and that's from the context of the Western civilization.
That's another thing like that. Why they call them American Indian? Why just can't call them Indians? Why to be American?
Because, from what I understand, Columbus and others were seeking a route to India. And so when they got here, they were thinking they were Indians from India. And there was something to do with that. That's why they're called Indians. And then they call them American Indians so that to identify. They're trying to find a route, to get to India. Instead of going around Africa, they thought they could go, instead of down, they could go to the other side, because they knew the Earth was a sphere, oblate spheroid, actually, but they knew it was round. And so they thought, hey, let's go this way, get around the ocean, and go to India on the other side. Some of them thought that's what happened, and they called the natives Indians, because they were from India. But that's,
So officially, he's the first European to land in this continent. There was no other European that then landed probably before him. Just never bragged about it or said or wrote it down and recorded it in history.
Yeah, I wouldn't say brag, but it's probably the Vikings were here before Columbus and the Europeans. Probably the Vikings, because there's some evidence of that.
The Vikings.
Yeah, and then I read an article not too long ago. It was that there may be another group that came here even before. We're not talking about the indigenous Indians who came over the Bering Strait land bridge thousands of years ago and spread out through the Americas, North and South America. But the Aztecs and the Incas and things like that, they had great civilizations. But there was supposed to be another group from Europe that came over. And besides the fact, I'm trying to remember it, but there's some evidence like that. So
you probably read an article on it already on your time.
I haven't written an article. I read all kinds of stuff and don't remember all the documentation that goes with everything I've read over the years. But you remember these points. You know, oh, that's right. It's another group. Things like that.
Do you recommend certain places to go to research on this topic?
Try Archaeology Review. Where? They might have some of that. Archaeology Review. Just see if you can find that. Or just type in archaeological evidence for Europeans discovering America before Columbus. Just try that and see. Okay.
Okay.
And see what you find. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. God bless, Alberto.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay. All right, let's get to Timmy from Richmond, Virginia. Timmy, welcome. You're on the air.
All right, thank you, sir. My question was about the Talmud. I had watched some of a documentary about the Bolshevik Jews, and it went through some of the things that was in the Talmud as far as it's okay for them to kill white people or lie to white people or stuff like that. Is that stuff true?
Not that I'm aware of. Kill white people. That's nothing I've ever seen in any Talmud research, Mishnah research would suggest anything like that. Where did you get this from? BHI, Black Hebrew Israelite People.
It was a documentary I was watching on about. It just said Europia, and it was talking a lot about Bolshevik Jews and how the communism got started and stuff.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't.
I don't know much about that. No, I
wouldn't put much trust in it. I remember, I've watched documentaries on religious things, Christian things, Christian history things. I've watched them on TV, and I end up yelling at the TV because it's so left-wing, and they purposely avoid all kinds of information and misrepresent other stuff. I don't trust anything that the documentaries say about biblical stuff and Jewish stuff. I just don't.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't put any credence in it.
Haven't found none of that stuff in the Talmud, like it was okay for them to buy and stuff like that?
No, I haven't found it. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not there. If anybody knows the documentation, send it, and then it can be corrected and stuff like that. That's fine, because I'm just ignorant in that. But,
I looked it up on Wikipedia, something about Babylonian.
You can't trust Wikipedia. Sorry, you can't.
Okay.
Even the founder of Wikipedia Even the founder of Wikipedia said you can't trust it anymore. It's left leaning, and I haven't been on it in years. There is a piece on me that's there, and it's got inaccuracies in it. And we had people go in and try and fix it, and the leftist wacko morons would reshade it back to Matt's a bigot, Matt's this, Matt's that kind of stuff. And it was just we just gave up after that, because the leftist you can't trust Wikipedia. Sorry, but you can't. It's just, like I said, even the founder of Wikipedia, who was pushed out, says he doesn't even trust it anymore.
Right, okay. Where was the Talmud? When did it start, the Talmud? Do you know?
It's the collection of the writings from the Jews based on the Old Testament scriptures and oral tradition and things like that that became written down, and then there's commentary on it. And that's, so it just developed over a long period of time.
Okay. Okay. So the Torah is different.
The
difference between the Torah and that.
The Torah is the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, okay. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay. Or what we call the Pentateuch, or the Torah, which is law. That's all. And so the Mishnah and the traditions and the oral traditions, handwritten traditions, the Mishnah, the Talmud, developed out of that as well as other writings in Jewish culture.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, God bless.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines, so give me a call. It's a nice Friday. I don't want to come out there and have to talk to you. You call me. Let's get to Jason from Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Jason, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I really appreciate you taking my call. There's a movie quote that I know that it's well fit. It's called "I Need You to Break This Thing Down So It Can Be Forever and Consistently Broke." I have a doozy for you.
Oh, okay, good.
I had a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness regarding the 144,000, one of the things that we were trying to a colleague of mine, a brother in Christ, his name is Ryan. Him and I were trying to express to this brother, this Jehovah's Witness, that the 144,000 were all male, and all 1,200 coming from the 12 tribes. And he was like, "Well, let's go to those scriptures because the word male is not there." And I was like, "Okay, well let's go to at least the 14th chapter." And we went to the 14th chapter. Read verse 4, where it says, "These are they which are not defiled with women."
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to say, these are virgins. They haven't been defiled by women. And what he was trying to do was include women within that 144,000. And his justification, which I honestly, I've never heard anything like this before. And what he said was that women are also included in that because women were not defiled by other women. So he was introducing the notion of lesbianism. I really just want to get your insight on that.
Let me give you a hint about something. First of all, Jehovah's Witnesses is a non-Christian cult. All right, so what I would recommend you do is go to blueletterbible.org, all right? And I want to introduce people to tools so that you can do this kind of research on your own.
Okay.
And go to like Revelation 14 and then, hyphen, colon 1 hyphen 5, right? And when you do this, it'll give you the verses. Well, what you can then do is go through, let's see. And I don't know how to do this with them. It has the Greek, the Bible, the cross references, commentaries, dictionaries. Oh, I'll show it to you when we get back from the break. There's a way to check things. I'll show you what I'm checking for, so hold on, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. It's, about 20 after the hour. If you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Jason, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, so what I'm going to do is teach you how to fish instead of giving you a fish, all right? And others who are
awesome.
Listening. Okay, so if you go to blueletterbible.org, all right, and you go there and you type in Revelation 14, and then you hit enter, it'll give you the verses. Now, I do this on a Bible program I have on my desk, but this thing's great. Everybody can access it. It's a great, great, great tool. So, by any chance, are you doing that, or are you just listening? Because, you know, I don't know what your situation is.
Right now, yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. Okay, that's all right. You're listening. Gotcha. Okay, so here's the thing, is that I'm going to tell you this so that you go, oh, that's why we're doing this. Now, look, I don't know. Do you speak Spanish by any chance? I think you have a little accent, do you?
A little bit, but originally from New York, so I have a melting pot.
Okay, all right, melting pot, guys. Excellent. All right, well, in Greek, we have nouns that take gender, masculine, and plural form. I mean, general, masculine, feminine, and neuter form. So we don't do this in English. You know, table, good, sky. We don't have words that do that, except in rare things like girl, man, woman, actor, actress. We have a few words that, by definition, by understanding, are feminine or masculine. But most everything else in our language is neuter. That's just how it is. But in Greek, that's not the case. In Greek, every noun is either masculine, feminine, or neuter. Well, what you can do is, for example, I'm looking at blueletterbible.org on Revelation 14, and so I clicked on the tools next to that verse. Let's click on the tools. It opens it up, and then and I look at the interlinear tab. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is you can do it by looking. And it says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, in the wrath of him, 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, in English, there, it just means there. But in Greek, it has a gender. And the gender is masculine. And you can find it by just taking your mouse and moving to the right, and it'll say it's a personal pronoun, possessive and genitive, plural, masculine, and that's what it is. And so the genitive means it's showing possession. Plural means number, like singular or plural, and masculine is the gender. So there, it says their foreheads, masculine. So the there is referring to the people. And you can go down to look at Revelation 14:2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice harpers harping with their harps. Okay, we can skip that one because there's no reference to the 144,000 that we can go look in the Greek and see what the gender is. And they sung as it was from heaven, the voice from heaven. Okay, the throne, 144,000, which were redeemed, which. So which is referring to the 144,000. So now you go into tools, and you scroll down in that verse on 14:3, and you go to the word which. Let's see. Come on, baby. Where is it? Which. There it is. And you look at it, put your mouse over the far right part of that, and it says masculine. And they were redeemed as masculine. Okay, and then we go to verse 4. These are they which are not defiled with women. The they. Well, we're going to look at the they, because they is referring back to the 144,000, and it'll have a gender. That's how Greek works. These are they, and what it says is present, no voice is stated, and it's third person plural. So it doesn't give you a gender in the word they. But the word these, just before it, these are they, the word there is masculine. So you can see how this is important, okay?
Yeah.
And so this is how you can do this. See, everybody can do this. Once you know a few tricks, you can go in there and you can look at gender research. And so, for example, I know there's nobody waiting. I'm going to go find Titus 1, I think it's 7. I'm going to do the word elder. Let's see. Just do this. Elders. And I'm going to find the... There we go. So I'm going to go to Titus 1:5 on the Blue Letter Bible. And there it is. For this cause I left you in Crete. I don't like the King James. I'm going to go up and change it to the NASB. Okay? I can use the King James because cults use the King James a lot. And Titus 1:5. And, I got to hit refresh. Okay. And it says this, for in this case, well, I'll just leave it on the King James. It went to King James. I left thee in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders. Well, see, women are not to be pastors or elders. Well, I go to the word elders. I look at the word tools. I scroll down and look at the word elders. And where is it? In every city as I appointed thee, ordain that are right. Where is it? Point. Come on. Qualifications of elders. Elders. Titus 1:5. Where's the next one? And this is just me doing real live research. There it is. And I go over to the right, and it says it is what's called the accusative plural masculine. Elders. It's masculine. And so you can learn a lot by just doing this little thing. By doing this little thing. Okay?
Yeah, I really appreciate it, because I was, honestly, I was at a loss. And the last thing, he gave me, I would consider to be a logical fallacy, because one of the responses, like we were to his we were objecting to him, and he says, "Oh, well, if women can't be in this scripture, you know, of Revelation 14:3, oh, are you then are you trying to say that women can't go to heaven?" And I'm just like, dude, that's a logical fallacy. But I don't know. You know, I don't know. It felt like it was a
here's what you do.
Dichotomy.
Here's what you do.
What would you?
This is what you do. This is what you do. You say, please show me in the text about them going to heaven. Show that to me. See, he made a statement. So this is one of the number one things I teach people in apologetics. Ask them to substantiate what it is they're saying. It's real simple. They'll say, well, only the 144,000 go to heaven. Show it to me. Okay. Well, instead of you saying that's not true, then they say, okay, you prove it. Now you're stuck. Well, they made the statement. Well, demonstrate it. This is one of the reasons I quote Scripture so much. Here's the references. And I'm still trying to learn more. I brought up my old Excel spreadsheet with the verses I'm trying to memorize. I got a lot to review. Hundreds, actually. I got a lot, you know, in my head, because I do this for a living. So this is what you do. And ask them, well, where does it say in that section of Scripture that the 144,000 are the only ones who go to heaven? Because that's what you said. Show me that. And you could also say, well, what makes you think that what I said means that women can't go to heaven? I don't believe that. So you ask him to verify what he's asserting. Okay?
Amen.
We're going to break. You want to hold, or are you done?
Okay. No, that's it. I really appreciate it, Matt. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. God bless. Hey, folks, wide open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call, folks.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome, everyone. We have a few open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-20. You know, I like it when I mess up on the radio. I don't know why I get a kick out of it, because I've been doing this for so long, and I've said this number so many thousands of times that I still mess up sometimes saying it. So I get a kick out of that. I don't know why I do, but I do. Let's get to Kamal from the Caribbean. Cool. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I've known about Calm for a while, you know. Good. And sometimes I tune in to the live broadcast from time to time.
Okay.
I think I got a piece of the Bible study last night. Had a Bible study on last night. I think that's
it. And
it was to the end though when you brought out the mug. The cup, the broken vessel.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that cool?
So yeah. That you got from, I can't remember where, Romania or something. But, so, quick question. So, what it is that, you know, I talk to some folks, right, that seem to say, so this question is how God speaks. So if God talks to people, like literally speaks to people, like, oh, I'm talking to you. Sometimes I'll speak to someone and they say, well, you know, God says to do it this way, or they receive it. It's kind of, you know, it kind of stops me in my tracks, and I don't know how do I mean, I don't think God speaks like that.
Okay. The question is, can God do it? I'm not saying he does or does not. The first question is, can he? Right?
Right.
Make sense?
Okay,
so we have to ask the question, is it possible that God could do something like that? Well, yeah. He spoke out of heaven, so we, you know, with the baptism of Jesus, so we know that it's possible. Now, does it happen today? That's the issue, all right? So that's the issue that we've got to deal with. And once we know that it's a possibility, then we have to decide if it occurs. Well, that's a tough one, because we have to go to the Bible. And we know in the New Testament that God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And do we find any occurrences where Jesus speaks after his resurrection? Well, yes, we do. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus spoke directly to Paul. Directly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an audible thing. Paul was knocked off his horse and heard the voice. So after the ascension of Christ into heaven, in the New Testament era, or New Testament covenant, then we have the recorded event of God speaking verbally.
Right.
Does it mean it will happen today? It doesn't mean it will. It does not mean it will not. So now what we have is a bit of a problem. We can't say yes, we can't say no. But I believe he certainly can. And I have no, personally, I have no problem with God doing it. It doesn't bother me. And I believe that it's probably happened. And I know of a guy, not that we make experience our doctrine, but I know of a guy who, it's a long story short, bad things happened to him, things that weren't his fault, and he was going to go to jail for it, and he was framed. And anyway, but he literally had a gun to his head, and he was in a room by himself, and I think the hammer was back, finger on the trigger, and he's getting ready to pull the trigger. And he said he audibly heard a voice in the room say, "Don't, I love you." He said it was as though someone was in the room speaking audibly. He heard it with his ears, and he put the gun down. And long story short, a couple of years later, he was released from prison and became a missionary. I'm skipping a lot of details, but the point is that do I call him a liar? I can't, because nothing in Scripture says it can't happen. So I can't call him a liar. But I can't say it's true. So I have to go with what the evidence is, and the evidence is that he said so, he's a minister of the gospel, he said it happened, and he's preaching and teaching the gospel as a result of this occurrence. So what do we do? I'd say, well, I'm going to go with what he was telling me was the truth, and leave it at that. You see how difficult it can be?
So the question is, it's tricky. So the question is, remember we used that scripture in Hebrews to say, in the former times, right? God spoken through his prophet.
Yeah.
So how does... Hello?
Yes, I'm with you.
So that scripture, so doesn't, isn't that, how can't that be used to...
Well, what does that mean?
To support.
See, in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, through whom he appointed. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be consistent with Acts 9, when Jesus, the Son, spoke to Paul. And so, okay. So we can't say that verse means... Hebrews 1:2 is what you're talking about. That it doesn't mean that, we can't say it means that God or Christ won't speak audibly. All right. Now, I got to say this, because there's a lot of TV preachers. You know, God told me this and God told me that. And I was praying and he said in my heart, I don't buy any of that idiocy. You know, forget it. It's just stupid. They're so casual. Yeah, God talked to me. We had this conversation.
But based on how you just brought it forth there, how can we dismiss it? No, because you said, like, you know... Uh-huh.
This is how. In Acts chapter 9, in the presence of the Lord speaking, the effect was Paul's humiliation and humility before him. and the lordship of Christ. Right. So this is how it was manifested. But we see and hear these wackos on TV, you know, God told me, blah, 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 as though it's a normal occurrence. And it's just not consistent with how it is in Acts chapter 9, in the one instance that we have recorded that it did happen after the New Testament, or, well, after the New Covenant was established. Now, there's also, not that we make doctrine out of experience, but there's a group called the Presbyterian Divines from the 1600s, give or take. And there's several of them. And there's an account, it's in the book Scott's Worthies. And I have the older copy of it. The newer copy, they actually edited some of this stuff out. But the original copy, first printing, had instances and they wrote down what happened with some of these Presbyterian divines. Like for one guy, he'd be praying for 8 hours a day. And they have his name, but I forgot his name, that he would go and spend time with the Lord in the garden out of his house. And the witnesses who wrote and said, we would hear another voice. Now, you know, he's by himself. He said, I'm going to go spend time with the Lord. Now, this is, you know, in someone spending, you know, hours and hours and hours a day for months and years. And there was this manifestation. So does that mean it's true? I don't say it's true. But I do know that these men were incredibly godly men. And they were definitely Christians and followers of Christ, and yet these things are written. So what do we do with it? Well, we put it on the shelf as non-scriptural information that needs to be judged by Scripture. Is there anything in Scripture that forbids that? And I see nothing in Scripture that forbids it. And that's where I'm stuck. Because then it opens the door. Well, Matt said it could happen. Well, yes and no. But if and when it does happen, at least in the Bible, these people aren't casual about it, as these wackos are on TV and stuff. You know, God told me, blah, 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 let me tell you what he told me. You know, because I'm telling you, if I'm in a room and I hear a voice out of heaven and God says, Matt, I have a task for you. I'm on my knees, my face to the ground. And I'm not going to be on the radio show the next day. Hey, folks, guess what happened? I was talking to God last night and he told me, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to be doing that. You know, if I'm even on the radio the next day, because I may have to still be recovering from weeping in the presence of holiness. So we do have ways of measuring these things, and that's what happens in Scripture. So you see the difficulty with addressing this?
Yeah, it's a bit tricky.
It's tricky. It's easier for people to say, it just doesn't happen anymore. Well, show me the Scripture that says it doesn't happen anymore. And then they go to 1 Corinthians 13. And in 1 Corinthians 13, they go to verse 8. Love never fails. If their gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If their gifts of tongues, they'll cease. If it's knowledge, they'll be done away. Okay, well, where does it say there that God won't be speaking? I'm not saying it proves it. I'm just saying I had to be exegetically fair. Well, what does it actually say? Not as what does it want us to say? And for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. And they'll say the perfect means the Bible. Then you don't need any of that stuff. And they'll say, well, in Acts 9, the Bible hadn't been finished yet. So when Jesus appeared to Paul, the Bible hadn't been finished yet. So you see, Matt? And then I got a response to that, which I'll give you after the break. So, okay? You want to hold?
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's asked a really good question, and sometimes things are just not that easy to answer quickly. And I'll show you some information right after we get back from these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Kamal, are you still there?
Yes. Sir, I'm still here.
All right. So you've asked a really good question, and it's not an easy answer because it touches different aspects of theology and logic. Now, a lot of people don't apply logic to the scriptural issues very much, but I do. This is why I'm going, it could mean this, but not necessarily that. It doesn't necessarily mean this, but it could mean that. So this is how we have to address things because we can then, you know, get closer to the truth. So as I said, some people will go to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. And in there, it says, when the perfect comes, the imperfect shall pass away. And they'll say, when the perfect comes, it means the Bible. And so, therefore, the imperfect, God communicating to us in that way, is no longer necessary because we'll have the Bible. That's the best argument they've got. It is. It's the best argument they've got. And it's also very weak. So, I went and did research on the term face-to-face. How does God use the term? Well, it turns out it occurs in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 places in the Bible. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face-to-face, and yet he spared my life. He was wrestling with him right there, face-to-face. In Exodus 33:11, Moses spoke to God face-to-face, as a man speaks to his friend. That's personal encounter. In Numbers 12:8, with him I speak face-to-face, God talking about Moses, and not in riddles, he says. In Deuteronomy 5:4, the Lord spoke to you face-to-face out of the fire in the mountain. Now that one doesn't mean God has a face, but there's this direct interrelationship connection. And it goes on like this for Jeremiah 32:4, 2 Corinthians 10:1, 2 John 12, and 3 John 14. You know, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face-to-face. So the overwhelming understanding of the term face-to-face is personal encounter. So when they say, when the perfect comes, then you know the imperfect shall pass away, for then, it says, we'll see face-to-face. Well, when the Bible comes, that's where we're going to see face-to-face, personal relationship encounter with him? No. When he returns is when it's going to be. And I can back that up with 1 Corinthians 1:7, that we not lack any charismatic gift while we're waiting for the return of Christ. And so, you know, I had to go through this for years. A long time ago, there's a long story behind it. So I know this topic well, and I've studied this topic about the gifts, the movement of the gifts, and things like this. It does not threaten the canon, and as a Reformed individual, a lot of my Reformed contemporaries will say that my position threatens the canon, and it does not, and I got an easy answer to that. But the fact is, God is still able to communicate himself the way he needs to, the way he wants to, the way he reveals himself to. I see nothing in Scripture that says he can never do it again in voice. But I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying Scripture doesn't negate it. So then we're left up to individual instances to be compared with Scripture. Okay?
Okay. All righty. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. I guess what gets me is the, like what you said, the frequency of the occurrence, you know, as it's like a natural sort of normal thing, you know, and
right. It's not normal.
That kind of gets me, yeah, because it, you know, it just happens so often. So I'm wondering, and it's never happened to me. I mean, I've heard like, you know, you usually hear like, how do I put this? A thought may come into your mind, or something may come into your mind, and You may hear something in your mind, you know?
Yeah, right.
You may hear something. You may hear a thought in your head or something right. like that. And so I'm not sure if, you know, if that's the connection. But yeah, it is kind of tricky, as you say. And I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing and letting me call in.
Sure, man. I appreciate it. And just remember, I tried to be as biblical and as logical as possible. And
right.
I want to go with what the Scriptures say, not what they don't say. And it's tough sometimes.
Right.
All right?
Right. Gotcha.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Slick. Appreciate it.
Okay, Carl. Right. God bless. Right. All right. Let's get to Dave from California. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for your program. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Two areas of Scripture.
Oh.
Regarding
Dave,
regarding sin.
Wait a minute, I gotta interrupt you for a sec, Dave. Everybody, this is Dave. I've known him for years. We used to be roommates, and he's a good guy. He comes up to my house. He lives in California. He drives up to Idaho every now and then. It's a running joke between us that he'll be up here for 2 days, and he's always up here for 2 weeks fixing things. And Dave's a great guy. Okay, now you can go ahead. Now that I've embarrassed you a little bit.
Well, those were such good comments. I don't know that I need to say any more.
Well, you know, I could butter you up some more, you know. So.
Well, I have a question for you regarding our Christian walk and sin. Mm-hmm. I know Colossians 2 says that our sin debt was nailed to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to 1 John 1:7, we see that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from sin. So regarding our daily walk, can you take a minute and explain how those two ideas interact with each other?
Yeah, there's kind of a now and the not yet theologically that exists, in my opinion, in this concept, because we know that the sin debt for the elect, that's what I believe, was canceled at the cross, Colossians 2:14, and yet we're not justified until we believe. And the cleansing or the canceling of the sin debt occurred 2,000 years ago, but we weren't even alive, which means that we had to die in Christ and were crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6, Romans 6:8. So there's an identification we have with him, and so the sin debt was taken care of back then. Yet, a person might not be saved till he's 50, and yet his sin debt was canceled because God isn't going to make a mistake, and he's not going to fail to bring that person to faith because God grants that he believes, Philippians 1:29, and when he believes, he's justified. So Romans 5:1. So during this period of time, it's the now and the not yet. I think this principle appears here as well in 1 John 1:7-9. That the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. And then in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, John is writing, so then we have questions we have to ask. Was he including himself logically and necessarily, if we confess our sins, in the current status of the redeemed? Or was he referring to himself, we, in the group of anybody who's lived? And so we don't have that answer. And because depending on which one it is, would then give you a shaded answer in a different area. If it's anybody who ever lived, if we, you know, all of us, if we confess our sins, you know, we trust in Christ, well, that would be true. Then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's true. But then we got another issue. Is the confession what precedes the cleansing? Well, then we get into the issue of, I guess, you're like the last caller, this is not an easy one. We get into the propitiation issue, in the canceling of the debt issue, the justification issue, and the cleansing issue. Is John here at this point actually giving a precise theoretical, theological, doctrinal statement the way Paul does in Colossians 2:14? I don't think so. I think what he's doing here is just simply saying, look, folks, we know that if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. And that's what you got to do. Continue to do that. It's gonna happen. But it cannot be logically if and only if we confess our sins, then he'll cleanse us. Because the problem is there are sins we've committed that we don't even realize we've committed, and we're not confessing them. And so then we wouldn't be cleansed from them. So I think what's going on here is that it's a generic statement that can be mainly applied in two ways. And that is, the believers have passed out of judgment, and we do sin, and when we ask to be cleansed of sin, we know we already are, but it's a fellowship thing of rejuvenation with him in our relationship. That's one option. And the other one is that it's a generic statement for all people that he will confess our sin. If we confess, he's going to forgive us. It's not that it's conditioned upon our confession, but that they're concomitant, and that's what they are, how they're related. Make sense?
Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's pretty good, I guess. I'll stick with that.
Okay. Good talking with you.
All right, Dave. God bless. Yeah, Dave's a good guy. We were roommates, and he's on the board of directors, and he's a retired Border Patrol agent. He's got some good insight in a lot of things, and he's working through an associate's degree or something in biblical examination of something I don't know about. I forgot the word in the title. Hey, let's get to Joseph from North Carolina. Joseph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. So I heard a preacher saying that the ESV has the wrong guy killing Goliath, referring to, I think it was 2 Samuel 21, 19. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that in terms of the inerrancy of Scripture, or I was told it was a copyist error when I looked into it, and I was wondering if you had any opinion on that.
I don't know. Let me look, see if I have anything. So I'm not familiar with that particular issue to know if there's any textual variant there. So I just can't tell you off the top of my head. However, I can tell you this, that David picked up 5 stones to go after Goliath. Mm-hmm. And the reason was because there were 4 brothers and cousins total of Goliath.
Right.
So there's 5 total, so he was going after them. And he didn't go after all of them, but later others did kill the other giants, the other other ones. So maybe there's something in there. But other than that textual variant, I just don't know. I'm looking
through
my...
It did say something about Goliath's brother or something like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe, maybe it has something to do with that. But would you say the ESV is generally trustworthy?
Oh, yeah.
You know, overall, you found it,
Okay. I'd say it's trustworthy.
Any other Bible translation?
I use the NASB because that's what Paul used. And let's see. I'm looking at the ESV, actually. Pilate killed him. David's men swore to him. He no longer wrote the battle. Giants over his spear, way through the intersection. Yeah, I don't know. I have to look at the exact verse. So it's down Soph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. I don't know. I'd have to really look at it and see what the exact issue is on the exact word to see, then do some research on textual variants to see if there is one there. But, so other than that, you know what? I just don't know. So how about that for an answer?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, God bless. All right. Let's see if we can sneak in Cameron from Orlando. Cameron, welcome. You're on the air. We got less than a minute.
Okay. I'll try to make this quick. Basically, I'm a YouTuber. I make videos online, and I'm a Christian. And I'm dealing with this atheist in my DMs.
Yeah.
And he's genuine. He wants to learn more. I just don't have the right answer. So he has a couple of questions that I would like to relay to you.
Okay.
Maybe you can help us out.
Well, we're out of time. The music's going to start any second. Can you call back Monday and or email me at info@carm.org? All right?
I will email you. That's perfect. I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah, it's an option. And I'm going to be on, in an hour, I'm going to be on Discord doing an Ask Me Anything session. So if you come in there, if you somehow think in or find it, there you go. And look up Carm-calendar on Carm. I'm going to release that in about 10 or 15 minutes. Okay,
perfect.
We're out of time. Bye.
I'll jump in the Discord in an hour.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, folks, I'm out of time. There you go. There's the music. May the Lord bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, by God's grace.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.